Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Open up your Bibles this morning to Isaiah 53. We're going to start there. This is the fifth installment of this series called The Father, Looking at God's Heart for Us. How many of you that have been here for the past few weeks, whether you've just been here for a couple of them or all of them, will say, Pastor, this has ministered to my heart. This has ministered to what God wants to speak to me. Amen? That's awesome. What my prayer in this series is, I'm going to be real honest with you. I said this the first service. I have no clue how much longer I'm going to go in this series because what I really want to do is establish a proper perspective of God for us. Because listen to me, we have built an improper image of God. Many of us have built an improper image of God. But last week we talked about him being our provider. We've talked about him being our shepherd. We've talked about him just being the Father, and he is a perfect Father. And last week we talked about him being a perfect provider. But this week I want to talk to you about him being a healer. Amen? God is a healer. Do you believe that today, church? I want you to understand today that he is the healer. He is, the Bible says in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 15, God reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that heals us. A.W. Tozer said it like this in The Knowledge of the Holy. He says this, and I love this quote, and we bring it up every single week at the beginning of the series for each sermon because I want you to understand that this is what we're doing right now. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. That is such a factual quote because listen to me, everything that you do as a Christian, if you are actually acting as a Christian, will filter through what you think about God. Your actions, like Christ, will stem from the image of what you think Christ is or what God is. Amen? So, it doesn't matter. Your financial status is not your most important thing. Your business status is not your most important thing. Your relationship status, whatever it is that you want to place, man-made things within this area. Listen, that is not the most important thing. The most important thing that you can do is think rightly about God. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Meaning this, once we think about God right and we seek first him and his kingdom, all the other stuff will fall into place and he will provide for us in the perfect way because we are thinking correctly about God. Let me say like this, whenever you think rightly about God, you don't do your work as unto earthly masters, you do it as unto the Lord, because the scripture says, don't do your work as unto earthly masters, but do it as unto the Lord. So you begin to realize that provision doesn't come from man. It comes from a man's hand, but it doesn't come from man. It actually comes from God. And whenever I do my work as unto him, he provides and blesses me in accordance to his word. That is the heart of the Father, okay? A.W. Tozer also said this, a right conception of God is basic, not only systemic theology, but to practical Christian living as well. It is to worship what the foundation is to the temple. Listen to this. Where it is inadequate or out of plumb, the whole structure must sooner or later collapse. My prayer in this series, from the beginning of the series, is anywhere that you have built or has been built by man, improper image of who God is, improper understanding of what his heart is towards his children, that thing get broken and come down to the ground, and we rebuild that through understanding who God is through the scripture. It is, listen to me, the vision of who God is can only be built by his words. God is a creative God. And if we go back to, and whenever he, whenever he created the world that we live in, what did he do? He spoke it into his existence, right? And then now he gives us his word to understand who he is. So he's still speaking to us who he is through his word. But I want you to understand that today, he is our healer and he can be your healer. Now, before I go any further, though, I want to go ahead and preface this message with this, because some of you in this room are already going, but why did someone die in my life? Why did my dad die? Why do I battle with this sickness? Why do I battle with this ailment? Why do I suffer with chronic depression? Why am I going through this? There's no way God can be a healer because he didn't listen. God is a healer. I want this message to be a faith stir in you today to understand once again that even though things go wrong in the world, because we live in a fallen world, okay, there's the sin of man that brings the curse into the world, so on and so forth. Now Jesus comes to redeem us from the curse. We can really get into this, but we won't go too deep into this today. But the bottom line is this: just because things don't go the way that we think they should go does not change who God is. And you can argue with the word of God, but guess what? You are wrong. If you want to argue with the truth of his word, you will always be wrong. And you can believe what you want to believe and all these things and make up these man-made ideas of what God is doing. And whenever your end of days comes and you are standing face to face with the Lord and the Lord asks you, why didn't you believe I was a healer? You're going to go, well, blah, 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 blah. But he's going to trust it. But my word says this, that I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you, okay? And I'm going to give you another scripture for why he's a healer in just a moment, so y'all stay with me. It's obviously not the only thing in the Bible that talks about healing, okay? Are you in Isaiah today? Yes. This is Isaiah, and he's speaking here. So this is Old Testament prophecy, okay? He's prophesying of Jesus, but this is foundational for understanding Jesus' role as healer within our life. It says this, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Or surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Next scripture. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. What's it say? By his stripes, or by the blood of Jesus, by his wounds, your translation might say, it says, we are what?
Healed.
We are, this is Isaiah prophesying. He's declaring who Jesus is. And now what I want to get into here just for a moment in the scripture is this. You can keep that text up there. Don't take it down. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. I've shared this before within our church, but I'm going to share it for any of you who may have not heard this before. Isaiah here, what he's prophesying, he was wounded for our transgressions. A wound is an outward bleeding, right? In other words, whenever I was 4 years old, my brother hit me in the head with a metal baseball bat and I had a big old wound on my head, okay? It was an accident, friends, okay? He caught me in the backswing. He wasn't just like, hey, okay? We didn't go that hardcore. We wrestled, but it wasn't that hardcore, okay? It wasn't ECW. But anyways, he hit me right here in the head and I still have the scar to this day. And I had a wound. There was an outward bleeding. Jesus was wounded for us. He was pierced for us. He was beat for us. He took stripes upon his back and outwardly bled for us. Okay? What is a transgression? Well, a transgression is an outward action of sin. It is an outward thing. It is something on the outside that you can see take place. All right? Now, he was bruised for our iniquities. What is a bruise? Now, I'm not a medical professional, so if we have any medical professionals in the room, please forgive me if I explain this terribly. But a bruise is an internal bleeding that is local to a certain area. It is a local bleeding that is happening internally. And iniquity means the thought that drives the action, or the thought that drives the sin. So literally what the scripture is saying, anybody ever sang this old song in church? And it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Anybody know it? Yeah. It's the blood gives me strength from day to day. It'll never lose its power, right? So what the scripture is saying is it is the blood of Jesus outwardly was bled for our outward things going on, outward sickness, outward disease, outward sin, outward problems. and he was also internally bleeding for anything that is going on internally. In other words, the trauma that you went through as a child, he can heal. In other words, the depression that you're facing, I believe that Jesus can be a healer for you. The problems that you're facing internally, the temptation to sin and do what is wrong, the battle within of things and sickness that no one can see that you fight with, the loneliness that you feel that needs healing, listen to me, he bled for everything that's going on externally, and he bled for everything that's going on internally, and by his stripes we are healed is what the scripture says. Amen? That's Isaiah. Now, let's look at New Testament. Can we look at the New Testament now? That's Old Testament. Let's look at New Testament because I don't want you to think, yeah, you did it back then. No, let's talk about New Testament then, okay? Let's talk about it. Matthew 8, Jesus is ministering here. It says this, 16 and 17. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed, I'll read it in the translation that you got right here. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. And what did he do? Healed all who were sick. How many people did Jesus heal?
All.
Cast out the demons, things that were going on internally, fights and struggles that were going on internally. And it says, and he healed all who were sick. That means every single person that was there, whether they had an external thing or an internal thing, guess what Jesus did? Healed them. That's New Testament, okay? This was to fulfill what was spoken. Go to the next scripture, 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah. We're going back. The prophet saying he himself did what? Took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So he's literally, he's literally going back here to what Isaiah had prophesied. And he's saying, this is the beginning of fulfillment. Jesus is the beginning of fulfillment of being the healer for us. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. So we, by his stripes, he took all those things, our infirmities, my internal things, and he bore our diseases, our sickness, and our struggles. And he shows up as a healer. So Matthew is directly connecting Jesus' healing ministry to Isaiah's prophecy, and he's emphasizing that Jesus' actions were fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of healing. Now, let's keep going. In the New Testament, to James. James is speaking here in James chapter 5. He says this in verse 14 and 16, and he's teaching on prayer and healing. He said, is anyone sick among you? Okay? I'm not at that scripture yet, but you can keep it up there. Is anyone sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well or healed. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins. Here's the scripture right here. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what?
Healed.
There's that word again. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Time and time, time after time, God reveals himself as a healer throughout the scripture if you actually study it. Healing is the children's bread. It's part of the new covenant that we have with the Father God. So God reveals himself in the Old Testament as a healer, and then Jesus, as he's walking the earth, goes and reveals himself as what? The healer. And then James tells us, guess what? Even though Jesus is gone, guess what you can still experience? Healing. Healing is still part in your portion. Is part of what God has for us. The Bible says that these signs will follow those who will believe. They will go and lay hands on the sick and see them recover or see them receive healing. Why in the world would the scripture tell us that we can do something that we can't actually do? That's why, to me, I'm just going to be real honest in this church, because I can be. And I am. I'm very open and honest, and I'll be vulnerable here in just a few minutes when I tell you a personal story. But it is ridiculous to me to believe that God can't heal. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't stand here as somebody who doesn't have things within their life that they struggle and battle with. I'm not standing here as someone that's never experienced loss. I've experienced family loss. I've experienced friend loss. Matter of fact, when growing up, I lost a great friend of mine he was probably 12 or 13 years old, passed away from a brain tumor. I've lost family members due to sickness and disease and cancer. But I cannot let my personal experience dictate what the Word of God says. I've got to inflict the Word of God on whatever my personal experience is. My experience doesn't change His Word. Because His Word is, the Bible says, His Word is forever settled in heaven. Okay? So whatever He has already said, guess what? That's what it means. And if He reveals Himself as the healer, then He is the healer. These passages collectively together support the understanding that healing, both physical and spiritual, is a significant aspect of the new covenant, and that we need this. The new covenant emphasizes restoration, healing, and wholeness through faith in Christ's completed work. I'm going to say this again, that God is the healer, and His heart for us is to walk in and receive of healing. Now, I'm going to step on your toes a little bit this morning, and some of you may not, you may struggle to chew this up because you've maybe been taught one way, but I'm here to correct some thinking with the Bible. God is not the author of sickness and disease. Okay? No matter, listen, what you've been taught, Jesus could only be what the Father had shown, only do what the Father had shown Him to do is what Jesus says. We also know in Colossians that Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. I never saw Jesus going around going, sickness on you because you did wrong. Huh? We... Lord have mercy, what I'm about to say. We somehow, sometimes, put Jesus in the same boat with people who practice voodoo. He is holy, separate, different, Kadesh, set apart. So to say that He is the author of sickness and disease means that God wants to hurt and literally kill His people. We literally put God in the same boat as witches and people who practice voodoo because it is easier for us to chew on us not, understand what I say this, us not seeing the healing that we wanted. It is easier to say, well, it just must have been God's will. It was not God's will that your grandma died of cancer. That wasn't His will. That He did not put that on your grandma. Okay? And once again, I don't say this to someone who hasn't experienced loss. I don't experience someone that doesn't have sickness in my family. Our middle son, he struggles with asthma. His lungs are not very strong. He has to take his puffs every day. If he doesn't, he coughs like crazy. He has asthma and coughing-induced asthma is what it's called. So I don't say it as, but once again, I've got to realize this. If I want to walk in the healing of God, and if I want to see healing in my life and in the my family's life and in the people around me's life, guess what? I have to believe that He is a healer. He is not the author of sickness and disease. I don't care what doomsday prophet you listen to in 2020, whenever they said COVID-19 is the curse that God has sent to judge His people. Please put the microphone down and get back in the Word of God, sir. Because that is not the God that I serve. That might be the God you serve. That's not the God I serve. My God reveals Himself time and time again as the healer. I love what the psalmist says here in Psalm 103, 2 and 3. I don't have the scripture on the screen. You can write that down. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Anybody ever heard that scripture before? Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget all. Just don't even forget about anything He does for us. Just remember everything God does for us. And he goes on to say, who forgives all your sins? Thank God, yes. And guess what else it says? And heals your disease. Okay? So I'm going to pose a question for you for a second for you to chew on. Has anybody in this room physically seen their sins forgiven by God? Has anybody... I've actually never physically seen my sins forgiven by God. Have I seen God work as a restorer? Yes. I have never seen him actually physically forgive my sins. Now, I know by faith my sins are forgiven because his word says that he forgives our sins, washes the old away, makes all things new in Christ. I know this to be true of who God's character is, and so I know by faith my sins are forgiven, right? So even though I've never seen it, I believe that. What I have seen people healed. I have seen sickness disappear. I've literally seen tumors disappear on people, come in one way, and the prayer happens, and we begin to believe in faith, and we stand in faith, and then all of a sudden, the tumor begins to disappear, and the doctors are dumbfounded. I have seen that take place. So what I'm saying here is I'm not inviting you, listen to me, I'm not inviting you to question the forgiveness of sins. I'm inviting you to believe, just like you believe your sins have been forgiven, I'm inviting you to believe that he, just as he's forgiven your sins, you can have faith that he'll heal your body too. That's what the psalmist is revealing here. Jesus was brought people who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed. And guess what Jesus did? He healed them. Jesus only does or did what the Father did, which means if Jesus healed every ailment, and if Jesus healed every disease, and if Jesus healed emotional things that were going on in people, if Jesus was moved in compassion to minister healing and reconciliation to people who were struggling, what is the heart of our Father? It is to heal, to minister reconciliation, to bind up the brokenhearted. That's what it says in Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, is what the text says. In Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, what I want to get to here for a moment is this, that just as much as Jesus wants to heal your external sickness, he wants to heal anything internal that is going on within you too. The trauma, the anxiety, the depression, the frustrations, the loneliness, the fear, the doubt, anything that's coming against who God is calling you to be, God wants to heal that in your life too. Because Jesus' compassion extended beyond physical healing and into emotional healing and spiritual restoration. And what I want, I love seeing healed emotions. Healed emotions are a beautiful thing. If you are a naturally just angry person, the healed emotion of anger is compassion. Because what you once saw and made you angry that someone's doing, now you feel a compassion towards them because you no longer want them to feel what you felt. It's a healed emotion. And I believe that God even wants to heal your emotions as well and refine those things and use them for his glory. Amen? Now, what I want to give you real quickly is this. Six ways, and y'all looked at, somebody looked at the time. I saw you look down on your watch. You said, Pastor, are you sure about that? I want to give you six ways to begin to receive and position yourself for healing from the Father. Six ways to begin to position yourself to receive healing from the Father. Let me say this. God, before I give you my first point, God won't heal what you aren't willing to admit. You've got to be willing to say, yeah, I've got an issue here. This is where I need healing. I need healing in my life from trauma. Things that happened to me when I was a child. I need healing in that area, God. Please, I need you in this area. Because listen to me, you limit God by not inviting him into those areas. You limit God's power by not revealing that and going, I see that. God, I need healing in that. If you just stick your head in the sand and act like everything's hunky-dory and every little thing's going to be all right and you never have any issues within your life and you're not battling with anything and you stick your head in the sand, listen to me, you will not find the healing that you need. You have got to begin to express the healing that you need. You know, just like this, If I tomorrow show up at a chemotherapy center and I said, hey, I need chemotherapy, you know what they're going to want? A diagnosis. They're not just going to be like, sure, let's get you all strapped up for some chemotherapy today. Or if I walk in and go, hey, I need triple bypass surgery, could you do that, please? They're not going to give me triple bypass surgery. What are they going to want? They're going to want a diagnosis. There has to be a revealing and an acknowledgement of the sickness or the ailment before there can be the proper procedures to bring healing to that. So I say that to say this. For those of you who have thought, and this brings us to point one here in a second, but for those of you who have thought, acknowledging that I have a problem is a lack of faith, you cannot be more wrong.
Right.
It is the beginning of your faith.
Yes.
Because you can't have faith for something you don't believe you have a problem in.
Right.
You've got to realize this is a problem.
Yeah.
I need faith for it. Amen?
Yes.
So I'll get you to this. Number one is this. You need to acknowledge your need for a healer. You need to acknowledge your need for a healer and acknowledge what you need healing of, whether it be your body, whether it be mental health situations that you are going through. You need to acknowledge your need for a healer. It is okay to acknowledge and express our emotions honestly before God. This is not a lack of faith. Will you put that up on the screen for me, please? It's okay to acknowledge and express our emotions honestly before God. This is not a lack of faith. If this is a lack of faith, let's all throw out the book of Lamentations. Because, in case you didn't know, that is literally a whole book that's just lamenting to God, being real emotions. Let's throw out a lot of the Psalms. Like, we don't need a lot of these Psalms that talk about, like, this scripture in Psalm 62:8 that says, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. We don't need to pour out our heart before God. We should get rid of that scripture because it's lack of faith. No, it's not lack of faith to acknowledge your need for a healer and what you need healing from. Okay, this is, once again, the beginning of faith. Now, the balance of this is, you feel what you feel. Now, let's balance the other side. Your feelings will lie to you. Yes, you feel what you feel. The heart is more deceitful than anything. Your feelings will lie to you. That's scripture, by the way. I didn't just make that up. In case you didn't know. So you have to choose to not be led by feelings, but led by faith. So there's a balance of, I acknowledge this as my problem. I feel this way. But the Word of God, this is where it leads you into our next point here in just a second, says this about the situation. Now, I also want to say this today, because many people deal with this, so I want to talk about it, because it's not talked about a lot in the church, and I'm thankful that it is being talked about more and more, and is becoming more prevalent that we talk about this in the church. But mental health is a real thing, and mental health needs to be talked about from a biblical perspective, because biblical perspective, or let me say this, from a proper biblical perspective. Because we've talked about mental health in the church, and this has been our answer. Did you pray about it? Go pray it away. Did you pray about it? What's funny is, if somebody came to us and said, hey, I got diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, we wouldn't look at me, well, did you pray about it? We would say, hey, have you seen? Are you seeking medical help, medical professional help? We would ask those questions. But when someone says, hey, I'm dealing with chronic depression, I feel suicidal, have you prayed about it? Now, balance is, there's power in prayer. We believe that. We believe that God is a healer. But what I want you to understand is, once again, acknowledging your battle with mental health is not a lack of faith. It is the beginning of your faith, to where now you know what to believe for, and now you need to go take some steps in the natural to help those things, which I'll give you in just a second. Also, you can find in the Bible where people battled with mental health. Elijah does one of the coolest things of all time and calls down fire from heaven. Like, what? This man was a superhero, right? Like, I would love to see this filmed like in the story, like in the style of a J.J. Abrams film, okay? Like explosions everywhere. I want to see fire from heaven just be amazing. Anyways, that's just Pastor Micah for you. He does this awesome thing, and then all of a sudden, right on the other end of doing an incredible thing that is like, wow, he hears that Jezebel wants to kill him, and he goes and runs and hides for his life because he is scared. And he's literally battling fear, anxiety, and depression in that moment. So if you're battling with mental health, I want you to understand there may be days where you feel like, man, nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. And then there's some days where you're like, I'm struggling today. I'm struggling. And there's no shame in that. You think about the woman who's battling with the issue of blood, who touches the hem of the garment of Jesus. Guess what? She acknowledged what was going on. She says that she went to all the doctors and people that she needed to go to and so on and so forth. There was an acknowledgement of her sickness, and it's the acknowledgement that gave her the faith. We're going to talk about it at the very end of this message. There's an acknowledgement of the faith. That's where it starts. That ends up getting her to her healing. Amen? Number two is this. After you acknowledge what you need help in, guess what you need to go do next? You need to renew your mind to the truth. Renew your mind to the Word of God. You need to fill your mind with God's truth that's found in Scripture. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, He leads you properly through His Word. Now, we need to meditate on Scriptures to help combat negative thinking patterns that we often create. In kids' church growing up, as Chelsea and I, we taught kids' church for almost 10 years in our Panama City campus. And we were 1 year doing a series on the belt of truth, or actually not just the belt of truth, the armor of God. We're talking about the belt of truth. And we taught our kids, like, the belt of truth is like Batman's utility belt, okay? And you need to be armed with the Word of God so you can throw out the batarang of Scripture at any point in time, or repel, or whatever you need help. It's all right there. The belt of truth has the Word of God, okay? So I say that. And another thing that a belt does, it helps keep your pants up so you don't get embarrassed when they fall down. But we can talk about the belt of truth another day. But one thing that stuck with me that I said on a whim one Sunday when we're teaching kids church, I looked at the kids and said, listen, kids, the belt of truth, when you know the truth of God's word, it counteracts the counterfeit. What is the counterfeit? It is anything fake or anything that does not line up with the Word of God. And can I tell you, for many years, there has been teaching on the Father that has been a counterfeit teaching. It's just close enough to who God is. And Walt Johnson was talking to me before service, and he brought this to me and brought this to my remembrance, that whenever they study counterfeit, they don't study counterfeit by studying the counterfeit further. They don't get that counterfeit money and study it more. They go get the real thing and study that, so they know when the counterfeit shows up, what the real thing is, okay? What am I saying? To counteract the counterfeit word that may come against you just means you've got to know more of the truth, not more of the counterfeit, and study the counterfeit. Well, I don't know. No, if you know the truth will set you free from the counterfeit, amen? You need to know the Word of God. You need to read your Bible. You can't take thoughts into the obedience of Christ unless you know His Word. You cannot overcome wrong thoughts without right thinking. And right thinking is found in the Word of God. Number three is this. Seek godly and wise counsel. It's a big one. Y'all get something out of this today? Yeah. Seek godly and wise counsel. Proverbs 11:14 admonishes us, where there is no guidance, people fall and fail, but in abundance of counsel there is safety. So you need to seek wise counsel. When you need healing in your body, if you're battling mental health, listen to me. You need to seek counsel from pastors, mentors, trained counselors, and doctors who can provide biblical counsel and professional support. Okay? You might need both in your life. Okay? And it's important to continue to seek that out, and I want you to hear me today. Medicine is not bad, and therapy is not bad. And listen, you don't not have faith if you need medicine or therapy to help. Okay? That is ridiculous. If you think that people lack faith because, Oh, well, they had to take, did you hear, they had to take some, the antidepressant that I'm thinking of, Zoloft. They had to take Zoloft. Did you hear that? These guys don't have any faith. Okay, then put your ibuprofen down. I feel an anointing to shout, hoop, and holler all of a sudden, like the gospel hit the room. We need to just hoop and holler over that, don't we, for a second? Some of you are like, don't you talk about my ibuprofen, Pastor. Don't you know I got back pain? You got that military grade. Don't be talking about that, Pastor. Put your Tylenol down. If somebody in your family is diagnosed with a terminal illness, you better tell them, don't you seek any medical help, because you're lacking faith if you do that. There's been this thought in the church that's prevalent, that is, if you take any sort of antidepressant, you go to therapy or anything like that, like there is a stigma on you of no faith. And it is ridiculous, and it needs to be gotten out of the church. Now, balance is we still believe for healing. I take a Tylenol when I have a migraine, and I also pray, Lord, take this migraine from me. Right? Because there is a balance, and the Lord has given wisdom to medical professionals to help people. Okay? And I'm thankful for that. God's given wisdom. There's balance. Now, here we go. I'm going to say something else that might offend some people. I'm afraid in our culture, though, that the word anxiety is like a hot take. Okay, like, oh, I've got anxiety. I'm just a girl. I have anxiety. And I say that, listen, let me introduce you to something. Everyone has anxiety. Okay, like, has anybody seen the movie Inside Out 2 yet? If you haven't, I'm sorry, I'm gonna spoil a little bit, okay? Just a little bit, I'm not gonna tell you everything. I loved that movie. I cried 3 times in that movie. That's no joke, I promise you. I'll tell you that. I cried 1 time, almost cried 2 times. Finally, towards the end, big old crocodile tears just. This man of God was wrecked. And you know what? Ain't no shame in my game. I'm okay with that. What I loved about the movie was there was such a beautiful message it was like a parable for me. I watching that movie, it was like, man, I could literally preach all of Inside Out 2. I could give you a 4-week series called Inside Out 2. Maybe we'll do it. And we'll go through the emotions and what healed emotions do. So anyways, the movie is beautiful because it really shows how God created humans, even though they weren't aiming for this. It showed how God created humans and how we have all these different emotions going on, but no one emotion is ever supposed to rule us. Yeah. This is where the spoiler is. I'm sorry, friends. But even when joy is controlling everything, there's still some issues in it. God created your emotions for a reason. The Bible says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. Those are two totally different emotions. Right? Like, ha! Ha! Two totally different things. Okay? But in the movie, like, anxiety tries to take over. And you actually find out in the movie, like, anxiety is actually something God's actually an emotion that God's put within us to actually help protect us sometimes. Now, we're not ruled by our emotions, but at the same time, there are times that we need to listen to those things, okay? I'll get somewhere with this in just a second. I'll just stay with me for a second. But I'm afraid that sometimes we wear it like a badge of honor, or like depression also. I'll say it like this. There's a far difference between dealing with chronic anxiety and chronic depression and I feel depressed. Or I had a bad day. having a bad couple days. This is where I said I'm going to bear all with you for a second, okay? Y'all don't look at me any different and believe Pastor ain't got no faith now, okay, before I'm about to say. But there are times in my life, guess what I deal with? Bad days. So you had a bad day? Yes, I did. Thank you very much. There are days I wake up where I'm so... You know, you just feel that just upset, just frustrated. You don't even know why. Can't be led by it. A couple weeks ago, we were at a movement conference in Panama City, and we had to drive back on Thursday. And I was ministering on Friday, twice on Friday, and we were leading worship twice on Friday. But we had to drive back here to Crestview because our boys were in the Super Bowl of flag football, and two out of the three won. And we came back, and we got back in time because we had to go to the day session on Thursday morning in Panama City. And then after the day session, we grabbed lunch, and we drove back, got back just in time to get out to the football field, basically, to change, get out to the football field. And I laid down in my bed, and I was this close to crying, and I said, babe, I don't know what's going on with me. I don't want to do this. I want to lay here. I felt like I could lay there for hours and not get up and be totally fine with that. I just literally felt just like a bad day, bad, like a depression. And this is the thing. Sometimes you got to kick yourself in the butt, okay? Get up and do the thing anyways, okay? Can't be led by your feelings. But I say that to say there's a big difference between I realize I don't struggle with chronic depression like some do. So I'm trying to be really tender in this, but I want you to hear me. Be careful, just be like, oh yeah, I'm depressed, and I need medicine for depression because you have a bad day. There's a big difference between being chronically depressed. And if you're unsure, then seek therapy, seek counsel, seek medical professional help to help you diagnose what may be going on and go that route to help you. And seek counsel, that's where we were at, okay? Number four is this. Practice self-care. Treat yourself, okay? Now, before you go pull up Amazon right now because you go, man, I'm dealing with some depression, so I need to go on a $2,000 shopping spree right this second. I'm not saying that, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Y'all hear me wrong. I'm not saying because you got a diagnosis of a chronic illness or anything like that that now you just waste your money away because I need to treat you. Pastor said treat yourself. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this. Some sickness isn't sickness, it's just you not taking care of your body. Or you not taking care of your mind. The devil didn't take your joy, you just been eating crap and not sleeping. Like, that's what's wrong with you. You're not yourself when you haven't had a Snickers, right? Like you just need some food. Our youngest will come to us now, he goes, I'm hangry. I'm like, you're not hangry. Get out of here. You just had a snack. You're not yourself when you're hungry. Some of you just need a... There's like a big red button on most TV remotes. And maybe around 10 o'clock, you just need to start hitting... Oh, yes, there it is. Go off and go to sleep. Yeah. Just go to sleep. Anybody got kids in this room? I got three boys. I got a 10-year-old... We have a, Pastor Chelsea and I, we have a 10-year-old, we have an 8-year-old, and we have a 6-year-old who's about to turn 7 next month, which is just ridiculous. Sometimes life is crazy. And so we got three boys, and our oldest is very in touch with his emotions. I don't know where he gets that from. It's probably the guy who cried three times and inside out. But he's very in touch with his emotions. Which is actually it's a beautiful and it's a good thing, okay? And whenever it is bridled and it is taught correctly, it can be an incredible tool of compassion for others. And he's very in touch with his emotions. And some nights, so they get in bed at 8 o'clock, all three of them, because after 8 it's mom and dad time. Y'all go to your rooms. You get 30 minutes to an hour watching a Disney Plus movie or something like that, that we know what you're watching, okay? That's a big thing for all my parents in this room. Don't just send your kids to their TV in their room and not even know what they're watching or monitor it in any way. We monitor what they're watching. They only have the apps that they're allowed to have on there. They have the child version of everything. We monitor our kids' stuff very well because in the day and age you live in, you need to. Anyways, that's a whole other message and series we could do on parenting. We'll do it another time. But what we'll talk about here is this, that they go to the room 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock comes, and if Levi specifically is not asleep, he'll walk out into the living room. I'm just not tired yet. I can't go to sleep yet. And then, like, sometimes all of a sudden he just starts crying. No reason. None. And then I'm like, why are you crying? I don't know. Our middle will do that too sometimes, but normally it's in the morning when we're getting ready for church. Like, I don't know why I'm crying. Unfortunately, we can't tell our middle what we tell our oldest whenever he comes out. And sometimes we just look at Levi and go, just go to sleep. You just need some sleep. Yeah, I don't want to. I don't know why. You need some sleep. Your body is tired and it needs rest. You know, God created your body to heal through rest. Like, he literally designed you to be that way. It's literally one of the Ten Commandments. To rest, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So listen to me. Sometimes you just need a good meal, a belly full, and to go to sleep. That's what you need sometimes. You just need to get that belly full and go to sleep. Now, and you also need to take care of your physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. This includes getting adequate rest, okay? That means if you're staying up late, turn off the TV, stop going out every night, doing all the things that you're doing, getting sucked into a Netflix show and staying up till 1 or 2 a.m. Sometimes you just gotta say, I'll finish it up tomorrow, okay? Don't stop the binge watching as much and take some rest. You wake up the next day stay up till 1 or 2, and then you wake up for work and you're like, why do I feel so depressed? Because you stayed up till 2 o'clock and slept for 3 hours. Of course you feel depressed. You're exhausted. Go to sleep. Well, don't go to work and then, the next night, make sure you go to sleep at the right time. You need to eat some nourishing foods. Maybe you're like a little child in here. You got to sneak those little nourishing foods in there. You got to sneak your carrots in there. Do whatever you got to do. You got to eat some nourishing food. If you are constantly, all you eat is McDonald's, I can't say Chick-fil-A because that's holy. McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, and the other things, okay? Like, it is fried in straight up anointing oil. We know this to be true. Straight from the Holy Land. But if all you're eating is Taco Bell, drive-thru food all the time, guess what? You're going to feel like crap. Your body needs nourishing food that has vitamins and things that your body needs to heal your body and heal your mind. You need to engage in activities that bring you joy. This is practicing self-care. I know I still got 2 points, and I'm done. I mean, my time's done, but I'm not done. You need to engage in activities that bring you joy. That means stop listening to the reason for the teardrops on his guitar or whatever it is, whatever. Billie Eilish, like, yo, there's a, man, if you listen to depressing music, guess what you're gonna be? Depressed. You know how I know this? I was an emo kid. Thank you, right? Hawthorne Heights. Anybody know what I'm talking about in this room? All the old emo bands from back in the day, like, I listened to that. And I felt depressed. And I was like, I don't know why I feel depressed. Because I was filling my mind with depressing things all the time. If you got a diagnosis of chronic ailment or some sort of sickness in your body, it's probably best you don't go continue to binge watch all the shows and movies that have to do with what you are facing. You probably need to replace some things with some things that bring you joy within your life. Amen? Well, that brings me joy. No, it doesn't. And you need to spend some time in prayer and worship. Amen? You need to do those things. So I'll ask you this. Are you depressed? Or do you just need to start a bedtime and eat something other than junk all the time? You need to practice some self-care. Amen? Number 5, stay in community. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ, is what the scripture says. I want you to hear me. Because James 5:16 said, therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, or it avails much. So I'll say it like this. Healthy community will be there for you to help hear you and heal you. If you find healthy, godly community, they will be there to hear you and then minister healing to you. God did not create you to be a loner and an outcast and all alone. Think about it. In creation, whenever God creates Adam, he looks, and it's the first time you see in the Word where he says, this is not good that man is alone. And he creates a community for Adam. Is what it says, that he creates a helper, a helpmeet, or that one, someone that is comparable for him, meaning that he needed people to be with. If God creates Adam in a perfect place, puts him in a perfect garden, in the place of perfection, and looks at him and goes, oh no, he doesn't need to be alone. He needs a community. How much more does God look at us now and look at the world that we live in and go, oh no, they need a community to be in. They need people to belong to. They need people that will be there and hear each other and help heal one another. God made community, and we need to be part of a healthy community. And the last thing is this. Last thing is this. Is do not, in the words of Journey, don't stop believing, okay? Like, don't stop believing for your healing and peace. I want to say this again. Just because you take medicine, just because you acknowledge that you have a sickness or an ailment going on in your body or in your mind, does not mean you don't have faith. But what I am saying is this, if you are taking that medicine, if you're going to the doctor for this, and you're going to therapy, I also want you to hear this, don't stop believing that he is the healer, and God's desire for us is to experience wholeness and peace in every area of our life, including our mental health and our physical health. Don't get up continuing to fight, pray, and push through for your peace and your healing. I want you to think about this as I close. I want you to know, in the story of the woman with the issue of blood, if you go and read it, it says, once again, that she went and saw the doctors. She went and saw the people who had the word of healing, for lack of better words, who had the natural remedies for the issue that she has. But she knew by faith the only way that she could experience full healing was by touching the hem of his garment. In other words, she did not stop believing just because she got a diagnosis, and she did not stop believing just because she started taking medicine or anything like that, or going through different therapies and routines that she needed to heal. What she did is she held on and said, I will still believe, even if I'm doing the natural things, I'll still believe that he is my healer and his heart is to heal me. Church, let me admonish you today and remind you, that is your heart towards God, and God's heart towards you is to heal your every disease. If you believe it, will you stand up and give God a hand clap of praise today? Amen. Hallelujah. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Will you lift your hands to the Lord? I want to pray over this word today. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it is life and it's truth for us. I thank you for you reveal yourself to us as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us. So Lord, we trust in that. We believe in that. Though some of us have experienced things contrary to the fullness of the experience of you as a healer, I thank you right now that there's faith arising in this room today to believe once again for full healing mentally, physically, every single part of us, Lord. We want healing. And right now, I pray over every single person in this room that may be dealing with mental health, that may be fighting for their bodies, for their healing in their bodies. I pray right now the word of healing over them. Your word says, by your stripes, we're made whole and we are healed. So Father, your word says that healing is of the children's bread, so we partake of that. So we speak healing over every mind, every body. In Jesus' mighty name, we believe that's who you are. We believe you are the healer, and we thank you for everything you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Will you give God one more hand clap today? Hallelujah.